Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry so you can do church better. I'm your co-host, Chris Wesley, joined by John Rinaldo. John, how you doing, buddy?
It is spring. I'm doing so well. The weather's warming up. I'm a happy camper. I have no complaints.
Yeah. You know, like, it does not feel like spring here in Baltimore, so I do have complaints. But, you know, tis the season. It's crazy because my youngest son, Matthew, or my oldest son, Matthew, he's a huge, like, Weather Channel buff kind of guy. So he's constantly looking at the weather app. And, you know, we're looking at the month of this month of April and how cold it's been. And it's you know, I just need the warm weather. I just need it. And I never thought I would say that considering I'm a winter camper and someone who likes to be outside. But it's not that it's like cold, like up north in New England. It's just this dreary kind of like yucky, messy kind of cold that I think just makes everybody miserable. But all right, I'm going to...
You can come here to California. We've had 80-plus degree weather lately, which is kind of crazy. It's a little early for that, but, you know, we'll take it. It's good.
Hey, that's nice. That's nice. I was going to say I'm being a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but I appreciate the offer of sunshine and everything like that. And maybe I'm being a Debbie Downer because the topic we're going to talk about is a Debbie Downer. You got to love my transitions, right?
Dude, obviously, you know that you are watching me. I'm just shaking my head. Like, Chris is incredible at these like transitions from whatever we talked about at the beginning into our topic. So
we could be talking about third world, cleft lip surgery, and I could transition it to kids programs or something.
It's an amazing skill. Quite honestly, you should put that on your resume, Chris.
It's an art. Yeah. Transition maker. Some of you might be like, what? You know, most of our audience stops listening because they get whiplash from the turns that I make in the conversation. But anyway, enough self-gratification and whatnot. But so we're talking about budgeting, which I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, budgeting, I hate doing it. I don't like doing it. I don't even do it. But it's one of those necessary things that you have to do if you're going to work in pretty much any organization, not just church ministry, but any field out there. And that's because, you know, you're given, as someone who works in a church or, you know, whatever field, you're a leader and you are given responsibility over resources, and money is one of those resources. And, you know, as a youth minister, I'll be honest, when it comes to personal finances, I'm a mess. And in fact, it's something that I've taken Dave Ramsey courses on. I've gotten personal finance help. You know, I have a CPA, I have a financial advisor, all things that you need, but they sometimes look at me and I feel like they have to bust out the crayons and the coloring sheets to show me like that 2 + 2 = 4. So if you are like wondering, like, why are they talking about budgeting? Like, I'm just putting it out there. I can relate. I struggle with it, but I also see the value and the power in it all at the same time.
And I'm the weird one here. I'm weirdly attracted to budgets. I love budgets. It's what I do. I do our personal budget for home. And I have, yes, I've done, you know, Dave Ramsey and other things like that too. But you reminded me, a little known fact, way back in the day when I was just starting my ministry, there was a new Catholic website up that they were looking for bloggers. And so I was blogging on personal finances as a minister.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I totally forgot about that. This was like, gosh.
Why'd you stop?
You know, this was kind of like blogging. I don't know if blogging was just beginning or whatnot.
Right, it was
just kind of becoming more and more mainstream. And, you know, I was giving it a try on this new platform. And I don't even know where this new platform is or what they're doing. But yeah, no, I was doing budgeting as ministers, but your own personal budgeting. Like, how do you manage a life when you're working in ministry and you don't necessarily make a lot?
That's
funny. I should go dig up those articles. I bet you I still have them. That'd be awesome.
And that's something we should talk about in a future episode is personal finances, because, you know, I think one of the biggest stresses that I know, at least I see youth ministers and DREs have, is like, can I support, like, is this financially responsible to keep working in a church?
Yeah.
You know, and actually with Marathon Youth Ministry, we did a little poll not too long ago on what your side gig is. Like, what are you doing on the side to make the income so that you can do ministry?
Well, let's not get distracted by that, because that is a good topic. We'll have to do that in the future.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But in the meantime, we're talking about more of like the fact that budgeting's coming up. And you know, like maybe your fiscal year is January 1st, begins January 1st. But I know for a lot of people, it's July 1st. And so we're in a season where maybe you've just handed in your budget or you're in the process of making those final changes. So what we want to talk about are some best practices that you can do to maximize your budget and not be intimidated by the process. So when we, I guess like to start off, we have to acknowledge that people are in different phases of their relationship with money, right? I mean, you have the people who are like John who dream about this stuff. And then you have people like me who we get the cold sweats when we
have nightmares about this stuff.
Have nightmares about it. Yeah. Let's start with the people who have no clue. They're just kind of like, oh my gosh, budget. You're talking to me about something that I've never dealt with before. What are some tips or pieces of advice you would give them to start managing their budget wisely?
I mean, first thing is you got to talk to your administrator, whether that's the pastor or the pastoral associate or business manager, whatever title that you have in your parish. Mm-hmm. Sit down and have a meeting with them and talk about budget, you know, and start to get a sense of how the cycle works with your parish, with your church, in terms of how they do budgets, you know, because everybody does it a little bit differently. Every diocese has different requirements in terms of how they set up and formulate new budgets and who approves and by when and all sorts of things. And that's probably more detail that most people need to know. But I think it's important to know what your culture, what your church culture is like in terms of budgeting and what the process is. That's really the first step. Sit down with your pastor or business manager and ask them, you know, what is this about? And come at it with two different lenses. One, as a student to come learn. But I think more importantly, as someone, as a team player who wants to do this well with your administrator, with your pastor. And I think you come at it with those two hats on. I think most of your leaders, you know, most of your pastors and whatnot would be more than willing to sit down and have that conversation with you. I just think that's the first step.
Well, and let's talk about software too. You know, do most parishes use QuickBooks? Like in your experience, should I, as a employee, like should I sign up for QuickBooks or should I just rely on an Excel spreadsheet? That's one of the questions I guess I should ask is what system we're using for tracking dollars, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know my diocese here requires everybody to be on one system and we have a centralized system for that. And that happens to be QuickBooks. So everybody in the Diocese of San Jose uses QuickBooks, period. You know, that allows for kind of central monitoring. Again, that's more detail that most people need to know. But no, the individual contributor does not need to be on that. It's just simple, just use Excel, right? You know, and so hopefully you are getting some sort of report from your pastor or administrator about the budget. And that's kind of step two is finding out, you know, once you meet with the individuals, find out what is your budget like? So have you received a budget in the past? And if you have, great. You are in great shape, you know, to take a look at kind of what's been budgeted before, what you've spent and whatnot. If you haven't, ask for it. Don't be shy, you know, because again, if you come at it with that hat of I want to be a student and I want to be a team player with this, people should be more than happy to share that with you. But Excel suffices enough for the individual contributor.
Well, and I think part of the initial conversation too is not just like how much money do I have to spend, but how much money are we bringing in? You know, especially if you're a DRE or a youth minister, or you work in an area where there's an income coming in, whether it's through tuition for faith formation or something along those lines, because I think you have to understand, like, you know, the fact that you're going to be using money that doesn't just come in through tuition or doesn't just come in through tithing or certain fundraising, but you want to have that kind of overall picture of what the income looks like, because then it can give you a little bit of a deeper appreciation on what it is and how you are spending as well. So I would say have that conversation with them about like, what does income look like? But going back to one of the points that you said about having that conversation with them, I don't think it's wrong to say if like you've never met with your business manager or your pastor before to try at least meet quarterly, I would say at the least quarterly, just to check in and say, hey, I want to make sure we're on the same page. These are my numbers that I have on spending so far. Does it match up with yours? Because then you can track a lot of things. One, it's accountability. Two, it's making sure that the system that you have in place, it makes sense. And thirdly, then it helps you look at trends too. You know, are you spending more in the fall because that's when the programs are starting up? Or are you spending more in the spring because that's when you're like looking at development and, you know, just at end of the year sort of celebrations or things like that. So I think it's kind of as a part of that is coming up with a regular time where you're meeting with your business manager or with your pastor, if they haven't initiated that already, where you can check in and say, hey, let's just dot our I's and cross our T's.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. You know, and again, because we're in budget creation season, hopefully your business manager, administrator, pastor has a template that you can use on Excel to kind of create that.
Right.
To create your budget. But and most will, I'm sure. But if not, I mean, I think you need to take a look at, again, into nitty gritty here, a little bit more of the budget. It's like, I think you really need to take a look at detail, and you organize it by program, really. That's the best way. If you're a pastoral ministry, you're a youth ministry, director of faith formation, Sacramento Prep, RCIA, whatever, you may oversee a handful of different programs. So just off the top of my head, if you're the director of faith formation, right, you've got your religious education, you've got your vacation Bible camp, you know, you've got, you know, your baptism classes. I mean, I'm just naming just a handful of things that I think the lens you want to go at the budget is program by program. And as opposed to take a look at the whole thing kind of in a large scale, it's much easier for you and me to grasp, kind of take a look at it from that perspective. And then all the numbers will roll together, you know, at the end. And so you can see, well, this was my registration income for vacation Bible camp and then right. this for baptism prep, et cetera. And then it just rolls in at the end. But program by program makes sense because I have a much better grasp of how much I'm going to be spending or how much I want to spend, you know, for each line item in individual programs as opposed to a whole program. So, and to your point, pretty much most of us have some sort of income coming in, especially again, you know, if you're in pastoral ministry now, you're going to have an income line in some way, shape, or form, whether it's registration fees or Sacramento prep fees or whatever it may be, you know, and so you shouldn't expect that to cover all your expenses.
Right. Right.
You have income. But I think best practice is, you know, you have the weekly collection, which is the largest source of income for the parish on a regular basis. And so some of that money obviously should be used to kind of offset your ministry. And so I think some administrators have some different, you know, different ways of looking at that. And that's where it's worth sitting down with them and taking a look at that, because some might say, look, your registration fees, for instance, should cover all your program expenses. And then what we make on the Sunday collection covers, say, your salary and benefits,
right?
That's one lens of doing it. And you're going to have people kind of differ all over the place in there. And that's why it's worth sitting down and talking about it with your administrator.
Well, yeah. And the other point is then when you know that part, you can then analyze how much you do need to charge for some of these other programs that you're doing, like whether it's Bible camp or a mission trip or, you know, a camp, because you might be undercharging. You know, it's funny too, because and this is probably a whole nother discussion too, is how much to charge for these different things. I know we did an episode on fundraising and how to avoid certain types of fundraising. But I mean, like, you know, so you might be undercharging where I know this one church that does a Bible camp where they only charge like $25. Where that to some people might be like, wow, that's a lot. And to other people, that might be a drop in the bucket. For this church, it's the drop in the bucket. And it's kind of like I've encouraged them to charge more, not because they need to make money on it, but because then it can cut their costs in their tithing and things. And they live in an area where dropping $50 on a week long camp for kids is nothing, considering that most families are dropping about, you know, $400, $500 on a week-long camp. So, you know, like, you don't even have to worry about overcharging just to increase your income in that regards. And it can benefit your program in a much different way. And it can even help your church in the long run as well. But I think bottom line with this part is having that conversation with your business manager, with your pastor, and If you've never developed a system before, it's developing that system. All right. So, you know, have those conversations now. Come up with like a regular schedule where you're talking to people about it. But let's talk about some of those things that we do and don't spend our money on when it comes to budgeting. You know, I think for the most part, one of the things that I struggle with as a youth minister is how much to spend on people and how much to spend on programmatic resources, right? So the question that always goes in my mind is, like, are people a better investment, or is the curriculum and the content a better investment? Now, John, as a former youth minister and a business manager and someone, a diocesan director, how do you look at all those different programmatic elements? If you're advising someone to reassign their budget, like, what areas do you think hold a little bit higher value than others?
Hey, you, it's a softball pitch to me here, brother, you know, which is fine.
Hold on a second. It's a softball pitch to you. That's a big question for many of us.
You, the reality is, people, you know, yes, you are going to need funding for all your program needs. So you know you're going to be putting money for that period. So, okay, that's fine. I think we underinvest in our people. And there's two points here. One, you need to invest in your team of volunteers or whoever is working, you know, with your program. So if you supervise other employees at the parish, you know, you need to put some money in for them in terms of their formation, their education, their training. I think we underinvest in that. And then two, you need to also invest in yourself. What is the conference, or what is the event, or what are the things that you want to go to kind of support your ministry, to support your learning? And so, for instance, in the past, I have budgeted myself to go to conferences, and that includes the entire expense of conferences. So I say it's a big conference I want to go to. It's the registration fee for that, includes the hotel, includes the airfare, includes the food that's going to come with that. Again, within reason, you know, you don't want to go
crazy.
Does
it include the mini bar?
It does not, and it also does not include first class tickets, okay? It does not include first class tickets. So,
okay.
You know, but make that
so that surprises me, because you seem like a first class guy.
No, not really. If you knew me well, I'm not a first class guy. Okay, but so I think investing in that. And the second piece of this is, not only conferences, but is there ongoing education? Do you want to get your master's degree in some sort of theology or pastoral ministry degree, right? Don't be afraid to ask for those types of things. What's the worst that can happen? They say no. Okay.
Right. Well, right.
You know, throw it in the budget and say, I'm exploring getting a degree at this university. It's a hybrid program. It's an online program. It's right down the street. I can go to the face-to-face program. This is how much it costs per for the tuition, you know, to take one class a quarter, one class a semester, or whatever pace you want to do it, and come up with a realistic number that you think makes sense in terms of what percentage of that income. Don't be afraid to ask. I think we shy away from asking, from regardless of whatever line item we're talking about right now. We need to ask for it.
Right.
And again, maybe your parish doesn't have the money, and so it's going to get cut. That's fine. But ask for it. And when it comes to your development and your team's development, put money into that. Again, you're going to have to pay for program costs anyway, so don't skimp on that, you know, either. Right. But invest in
people. I'm going to pause right there, though. I like the fact of, you know, and that kind of goes back to the previous point. Don't be afraid to ask for things, you know, especially if you think it's worth the investment. The task that you'll be charged with is trying to figure out how to advocate that it is worth that investment. So, you know, don't be afraid to like ask to go to the conference for, you know, coaching or resources or books or whatever it might be, because the worst case scenario, it's a no, you know, and if it's something you strongly believe in, then you can figure out another way of pitching it. You can wait till next year. You can do a little bit more research on, you know, what the return on that investment might be. But for the most part, yeah, don't be afraid to ask. But I also want to kind of go back to, you know, you gave some really good examples of investing in ourselves, like professional development. But like, break it down a little bit more of like, what does it look like to invest in my team? You know, whether I'm the DRE or in charge of outreach, like, what does it look like to invest in my team? Is it just buying them food or like books? Like, how would what are some ideas that you would add to that?
Yes, and obviously food. So a couple of ways. First of all, there's recognition, right? You know, so invest in your team via recognition. So how are you going to recognize them? Are you going to do end of the year, you know, volunteer appreciation event? That's money well spent. I think another way of doing that is, are you going to provide on-site training, and are you going to bring in some people to kind of help with the on-site training? And so maybe that's paying for a stipend for that individual to come and train your leaders. You know, and then all the things that come with an on-site training, right? The food, the supplies, the whatever. Yes, to books. You mentioned books. Absolutely. I think, you know, whether it's an ebook or, you know, an old-fashioned hard copy book, if we want them to be serious about their own growth and be better as ministers, then give them some stuff to read, you know, because the old adage is just true. Leaders are readers, and readers are leaders, you know, and that's true regardless of what title you have, what your position is. And then the other thing is, every diocese has some sort of training, you know, to take advantage of. And typically there's a small fee for that type of thing, you know, and some of you have to travel far depending on how your diocese is set up. And some of you don't have to travel as far, but invest to pay for the registration fee for that diocesan conference or diocesan catechist specialization or whatever it may be. Not only registration fee, but to send them there if you have to, if it's a little bit of travel. And then even bigger from there is if there's some sort of national conference that you want to bring them with you to, then invest in that. Now, obviously that's going to get more expensive, right? Because now you're airfare, registration, hotel, et cetera, things like that. But I think at all those levels, take a look at all those levels and how can you invest in it? It could be as simple as a book, right? Or an online resource subscription that they pay for. It could be as simple as a volunteer recognition, or as complex as sending them to some sort of national conference. But yes, to all of
them. Yeah, our director of family ministry, actually, this is brilliant. For a lot of her events, she provides free babysitting. So she'll pay a couple of high school students and college students to watch the kids of some of her volunteers, especially if it's like an all-day training sort of thing. So you don't have to worry about that burden. Because I think sometimes we forget about all the different sacrifices our volunteers make to serve, not just giving a meal, but also maybe having to find a babysitter to watch their kids so that they can serve. So yes, it was a softball question in the sense of people or programs. And I think that's where we have to be very careful, though, going back to the resources and programs, is to, like, when we sign up for a subscription, sign up for, an online subscription to an online resource or a curriculum resource or a programmatic thing is not to feel like you're tied to it forever, you know? And that's where I think you have to be really prudent in the sense of, and this is for all things in your budget, is analyzing the benefits and the consequences of that cost, you know? So like you're buying this content, how is it helping your program grow, or you're using this resource, is it really benefiting people there? And, you know, it takes a little bit of work, but that's where, on top of, I think, meeting with your business manager to look at the budget, it's meeting with your core team to analyze the things that you're doing and the resources that you're using and saying, is this worth our financial investment or not? Because, you know, one thing as a pastor or a business manager, they're going to have the right to sit down and say with you, like, okay, yeah, you've been staying within your budget of $2,000 for this curriculum, but do we really need to spend $2,000 on this curriculum? Or can you do ministry just as effectively without it? And I think there's a lot of churches that face that dilemma and really get concerned about what to do. So I think it's really important that you have that data to back up whether or not you want to continue with that curriculum.
Absolutely. And in terms of kind of getting into, you know, delving in a little bit more into what are the things that we should be budgeting for. And again, your parish is going to have a template for this. So they're going to have like line items already set for you to kind of think through, you know, these activities. But again, look at it by program first. What's your registration fee or what's your income? Okay, that's simpler. It's usually one income line for that. But then in terms of expenses, kind of delve into it. So how much is it going to cost for hospitality, right? So or food, right? You know, things like that. You know, what about communication costs? You know, I'm just going to run down a bunch of different ideas, Chris, real quickly. It's like, are you paying for any communication costs? You know, are you paying for any email subscription programs or things like that, right? You know, people still send stuff via mail. So what about postage and delivery, right? You know, are you going to spend any money on postage? Something to think about. Office supplies. Look, your staple is going to break someday, you know, or you're going to need, printer cartridges for your printer, right? And so we need to think about the office supplies that we need. You know, we already mentioned volunteer education, right? You know, that's a big piece of this, and your own education. You know, and so those are just some of the things, those are some of the, I think, the standard operational things that we need to take a look at that I think we sometimes don't think through or don't figure that out, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously things like curriculums and things like books and resources and things like that we need to pay into. There's small equipment purchases, for instance, you know, every once in a while, look, your projector dies. And you use your projector all the time, you know, do you need to invest in putting a little money to pay for new technology that comes in from time to time? You know, those are the more boring stuff that we don't really think through a little bit, but I think we need to spend some time on in terms of what the expenses might be.
Yeah, you know, and I think though those are definitely things you have to take into account. I remember I had a couch budget at my last church where, nice. You know, like we got these couches from IKEA and they were great, but they got moved around a lot because we had shared space and the couches would break every year, you know, and, you know, fortunately with IKEA, we could always go there and get the spare parts, you know, at minimal or no cost. But then there were times where we had to buy a whole new couch and, it was kind of like the couch repair budget, which, you know, kind of made us think, do we buy more expensive couches that could endure, you know, further punishment from the teens and from moving around. But yeah, it's definitely something you have to take into account, especially like you mentioned the projector, those projector bulbs, especially if you're using a high end thing, they're pretty expensive. So
yeah,
you got to keep that into account as well as things like your computers, iPads, things like that, that you might be using as well.
And I think some of the technology pieces, this is where, again, talk to your parish administrator, but some technology stuff is going to be covered by the general technology part of the budget for the parish. And so you don't necessarily need to plan for that necessarily, but you need to ask the question, you know, because if it's not covered, if there isn't some sort of monies available for your laptop will eventually die, right? It's your laptop is now 10 years old, which is very common in ministry, which it's super crazy, but true. You know, we hold on to our computers forever because, well, we just do, you know, and so at some point your 10-year-old computer is going to die. So that is often monies that should be budgeted, kind of the general parish budget.
Right.
I'm going to throw this out there. What are the things that we don't budget for? Well, again, you got to ask the question, but obviously you yourself will not do your individual budgeting for your salary, your health benefits, your et cetera, all that stuff. That's typically to the side. I'm going to cough. Sorry about that. You know, but that really, you shouldn't worry about that at all. That's typically filled in by other people who are going to take care of that for you. And again, that comes from, obviously you're going to talk salary with your boss or whatever like that. But again, they'll fill in that information. So those are the things that you don't do.
Yeah. I mean, that's more higher end. That's stuff that dioceses and pastors talk about more so than you need to worry about. But you don't budget your own salary. Well, you shouldn't be in that area where you're budgeting your own salary and benefits, for sure.
Yeah, first of all, that's not a good practice anyways.
Right.
And the other thing that you're not going to budget for is things that have to do with the facilities, right? So say you have a room that you use regularly as part of your program, right? And the window breaks.
Right.
Or the ceiling falls down. Well, that's not on you on a program. So that's typically falls under the facility category. That's nice if you're thinking about that. If you are thinking about that, let me know. That's awesome of you to be thinking about that.
Right.
Like I want a budget for the ceiling falling down. But the reality is those things do happen. However, generally the facility costs are taken care of by the administrator, not anything that you need to budget for. So again, you need to focus mostly on your program cost and your education cost, you know, and let everything else that falls out of that is taken care of otherwise. So, like even the couch example, Chris, I thought that was really interesting. I mean, in some cases, the parish might take care of the couch in a different budget than your own budget, your own youth.
Well, Eventually they did because more and more programs were using it. But at first it was like kind of a luxury item where this was just youth stuff only. And, and eventually it did become more of a line item, but that was an important thing to communicate because I don't think that they knew that they were like, well, yeah, of course you can buy these couches for your program. They'll come out of your budget, but I don't think they thought about the maintenance part of it. you know, until a little bit later on when they saw me constantly screwing on new legs and new parts. So,
yeah.
So yeah, no, it goes back to the point of you have to communicate these things as well. So those are areas that we don't budget for, we don't have to budget for. But I think there are areas too where we have to budget for that we don't think about. We've already covered a bunch of them, like your personal development. That I feel like is constantly overlooked. You know, it's like you as an employee need to have a personal development, a professional development budget. Because if you're not learning, if you're not growing, you're not going to be able to lead. I think that's the bottom line. And if you're a pastor or a business manager listening to that, you need to make sure that your employees are putting that into their budget of how are they learning and growing. Mm-hmm. You definitely have to budget areas for your volunteer development, you know, your leader development, because same thing, if you're not developing your leaders, it doesn't matter how great the program that you're using, you're just going to fall flat on your face. I think after that, it's kind of like everything else is negotiable, in regards to where the, like what programs and products and things do you use. I think though, I would put third on the list, the things that you were talking about, like the subscriptions that you're using for, you know, email or softwares or just different things like that. Even if you have like a Spotify account, you know, it's just like budget that in and make that a regular cost as well. And then after that, it's you know, the physical tangible resources that you're using. Like if you're buying pens for the meeting, you know, special pens for the meeting, or you want to, get, I don't know, I'm blanking on tangible resources here, but like notebooks or, like prize in youth ministry, it's the prizes or the materials for the games. I think that's where you can be a little more creative. And that's even an area where I found if I'm investing my leaders, I find that my leaders invest back in the program by saying like, hey, I'll pick up a pack of balloons, you know, at Walmart on the way to that program. And they end up buying those products just as a way of giving back to the church.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And lastly, I would suggest as we kind of begin to wrap up here is if you submit a budget and you don't know whether it's been approved or not, ask. You need to ask, you know, because again, I've worked at parishes where we submitted a budget and we didn't know. We didn't know whether it was approved or not. And so we just kind of start going, and can I spend this? Can I not? I don't really know. And it creates kind of an awkward ambiguity that's just no fun. The other piece is, Chris, you already mentioned meeting quarterly with the administrator. I love that idea a lot.
Right.
You know, the other thing, so advocate for that. You need to advocate for that. On top of that, if they're willing to, sorry about that, if we're willing to, get a monthly report and see if they can set up ability to send you a monthly report. Here's your income. Here's your expenses. This is what the budget was, and this is what you spent so far. Typically in programs like QuickBooks or any of the programs, once you set up that report the first time, it's a press of the button to print that report each month, and takes no time whatsoever once it's set up. And they send it to you, print you a copy or email you a copy of it. Just so you're seeing what's going on, and go through the numbers line item by line item, just so you can see. Most of our budgets are not that complex, and so it's not going to take us that long to do that. You know, but the more you know, the better off you're going to be. All right, one last piece of thing that I'm going to say is when you're asked to cut down expenses because income is down or whatever your case may be. Okay, take that seriously. That's good. But I think it's a fine balance because, you know, if you end up underspending by over $1,000 in a particular line item, the trouble you might get yourself into is although you can afford to underspend this month, this year, but they're going to look at that when they're reviewing the budget and say, well, they asked for $2,000, but they only spent $980. So let's lower it to $1,000 for the next year. So I think we have to be careful. Yes, we want to be sensitive to not spending as much if we don't need to, but it's kind of, you can fall into a trap where basically if you don't spend it, then they look at it not having any idea what the details are, that line item.
Right.
And then say, well, they don't need that much money, so let's lower it. And again, just to find balance. So if you have the money and you're not being asked to spend less, spend it. Mm-hmm. It sounds weird to say that, but spend it, because if you don't spend it, you're going to lose it the next year right. in terms of your ability to income because, you know, I worry about that. It's an easy way to lose money.
Spend it responsibly too. Like, yes. Don't just say like, hey, let's all go out to eat and happy hours on me. Like, you know, sort of thing, but make sure that you spend it, but spend it responsibly too. So that they're not just like, well, you just bought that one time thing and right. same results. So, it's an interesting topic. I know a topic that some of us are not sure we like ever talking about, but it's something that we need to talk about because if we're leaders, we are stewards and we're responsible for all things, not just people, but our programs and our finances. And so I would say definitely jump on top of that. This is a topic I know that we need to discuss in different realms and different areas in the future, but definitely make sure that you are communicating. I think if there's one thing you walk away knowing from this episode, it's communicate with your pastor, communicate with your business manager. Just make sure you're on the same page when it comes to your finances. So if you guys have questions, about this or questions about anything in ministry, you can always email us at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. You can also reach out to John and I on social media. You can find me at Chris R. Wesley on Instagram and Twitter, Chris Wesley on LinkedIn, and Marathon Youth Ministry on Facebook, and my website's marathonyouthministry.com. John, they can find you where?
Yeah, my website, johnrinaldo.com, on Twitter, John Rinaldo, and on Facebook, at John M. Rinaldo.
All right, awesome. Well, John, as always, thank you for sharing your wisdom, especially when it comes to finances, to people like me, who always will, this will be one of our struggles from now until the end of time. But thank you so much. And everyone that's listening, thank you so much. Feel free to leave your reviews on iTunes. And again, any questions that you have, send them our way. You can also find us on thechurchpodcast.org. We thank you for joining us. We love you, and we'll see you next time.